You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Hello, I'm Andy.
And I'm Erin.
And welcome back to the Study Clicks podcast. Today we're going to be doing a lot of talking about the Irish oral. I'm lucky enough to have Erin here with me, who is a H1 student in Irish and basically a Gaelgor in my eyes, maybe if not in her own eyes. So we're going to be talking through how she got to that level of Irish and also just through the oral in general, tips, breaking down the format of the exam and everything like that so we can help you achieve your best result in the Irish oral. So I guess we'll start with talking about our own kind of background. Maybe not mine, because it's not as good. I did get a H3, you know, hanging in there. Okay. But thank you. yes, Erin is... You got a H1, Erin, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yes, I didn't go to girls' school myself, but I always just really had a love for Irish, particularly in, like, senior cycle. When I was in... up to junior cert, really, I was always good enough at it, but I didn't really have that much of an interest. It was only kind of when I got to like TY, I think, that I really started to kind of prioritize it, and from then on, like, I just really developed a love for it. And yeah, I'm studying Irish in college now, with communications through Irish. So yeah,
cool. What kind of sparked your interest? Did you go to the Gael talks, or was it something like that, or what made you suddenly fall in love with Irish?
Yeah, so during the summer of TY, I spent a while in the Gaeltacht, and I think I kind of felt myself sorry that I couldn't speak it to a better level. Like, you know, having it around me and everything all the time and listening to everybody speaking it just kind of made me think, oh, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could just speak it to that level. And then I was really lucky in fifth year as well, and for Leaving Cert, to have a great Irish teacher. And I think just kind of the way that circumstances played out for me really helped me kind of develop my standard, and just kind of, I had a lot of opportunities around it as well. Like, I was part of an Irish club that was in my secondary school, and I was the chairperson of that. So I had, like, even though I didn't go to an Irish school, I had a lot of kind of involvement with the language while I was in school, which did help a lot. And yeah, it just made me want to study it in college, and now here I am a year into my course, and I'm very, very happy with my choice.
Great. Well, fair play to you, because I always think about how I'd love to be able to speak Irish, and I'm quite embarrassed that I can't. Well, not embarrassed, but I just really would love if more people were able to, like you, so that's great.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So yeah, we're going to get into the Irish oral, and you know, you obviously did quite well in your Irish oral, but I wanted to start with, for people who, because we've just had the mocks and we've had a lot of focus on the written papers and things like that, so I think it's very easy to neglect the mock or neglect the orals or forget about them and not study for them as much, or think, okay, that's an issue for after the mocks or kind of in the few weeks in the lead up to it. So some people may not have actually done that much oral prep. I mean, you probably should have, but it's fine if you haven't, because a lot of people don't. So I'm wondering, I was going to ask you, where do you think is the best place to start if you haven't done any kind of that much in-depth study? Where would you start first?
Well, I think it's definitely normal up to this point to have not really prioritized the oral. Like, you have so much else going on in your head, particularly in Leaving Cert. Like, it's a crazy, crazy time. Like, you want to just focus on the written stuff, because as well, I find even in the subject Irish, like, most of the conversation around it is you know, surrounding, like, kind of paper two stuff, like your studied material. Like, that's kind of what is spoken about most. But the great thing about Irish is that the oral is actually worth 40%. Like, it's the biggest chunk of marks that you're going to pick up anywhere in the course. So I think it's definitely, I wouldn't worry too much about the other aspects of the Irish course, like, coming, like, just after the mocks. I'd focus definitely on the oral. And honestly, I think the best way to do that is to just surround yourself with the language kind of as much as you can. I think the main thing is really just trying to speak it whenever you can. I mean, it's like any language, you know, you're not going to realistically learn a whole pile by just reading and writing. Like, you have to actively put it into use. And, you know, whether that's like, I know for myself, what really helped me was like, I would only speak to my Irish teacher in Irish. If you can find teachers like that who you can just speak to in the language, that is really beneficial. As well as that, I find like, if you can listen to Irish language media or things like that, like I know there's like loads of podcasts and obviously TG Cahir and things like that, like there's so many things you can just kind of have on in the background that will develop, like gradually develop your listening and comprehension skills. Yeah, I think that just kind of finding ways to integrate the language into your life can be a huge help, especially like coming straight out of the mocks and not wanting to overwhelm yourself with how much you kind of have to prepare.
I think that's a good point, is focusing on the fact that the oral is 40% of your Leaving Cert Irish grade, you know, and that after the mocks, you really can put all your focus into this, maybe kind of put the written paper on the back burner. This is the main thing, because it's such a huge part of it. So definitely loads of good tips there. Get integrating with everything. And, you know, Shrek and Irish is out there. You know, if you're lying in bed, don't watch Friends. Watch Shrek and Irish. This is the kind of things you need to be doing. This is what Erin did. This is why she's at the level. No Gaelscoil, all because guys. Of Shrek. All because of Shrek and Irish, or Cockamillish just on repeat.
Love the stuff.
One of my favourites. We'll go into the structure of the oral exam. There's 5 marks for your Fáilte, which is basically your greeting, right? And poetry reading, which is 35 marks. Co-raw, 120. And Srat pictures, those beautiful things, are 80 marks. I guess we'll kind of just go through every bit one by one kind of quickly. And I want you to maybe give a tip or two for each thing or what you kind of would focus on. So Fáilte, what would you kind of say? It's fairly straightforward, but you know, it's something you need to get right, isn't it?
The Fáilte is very straightforward section. I wouldn't really think twice about it, but the examiner basically will just ask you your name, your age, your date of birth, your address, and your exam number. The one thing I would say about the Fáilte is that for the address, they usually look for 2 pieces of information. So like if you're from Galway, for example, don't just say I'm from Galway. Like you have to give 2 pieces of information to expand on it. That's the only thing I'd really recommend knowing off. And then just being careful of like your the grammar rules when it comes to numbers. So like make sure you're saying like shocked mlyana jigdish and things like that. Like, you know, if it's an uru or a shavu, but apart from that, it's very straightforward. And then in terms of the poetry reading, I think the poetry is honestly one of the easiest places in the oral to pick up marks. Like the question in the oral is worth 35 marks. The question in your paper 2 to do with poetry is 30 marks in comparison. So you get more marks for just reading out the poem in your oral than you would in the written paper that you've probably studied for months and months practicing questions for. And the beauty of that is that you can literally just bring your own sheet into the exam with you. You can write whatever phonetics you may need. Like you can literally phonetically write out the entire poem if you want to and just read it from that. Like there's, if you just give this a little bit of practice, like there's no reason you shouldn't get the 35 marks if you put in the effort. Like one good way that I've found to practice for that is listening to the poem as well on repeat. So whether that's that you want to record yourself reading it out, or there's a load of recordings, like I know there's recordings on our YouTube channel and things like that, just to have them on even in the background, familiarize yourself with them. But yeah, definitely very easy 35 marks to pick up. In terms of the co-raw, then this is the biggest section. It's worth half of the marks overall. A lot of people get very bogged down by kind of what information they should know off, and like stress about being asked really difficult, complicated questions, when in reality it's probably a very unlikely thing to happen. And if it does, there's ways out of it. Like you're being tested on your level of Irish, not like the examiner isn't trying to catch you out. So honestly, the best way to look at it is just as a conversation and not as like some big kind of, you know, interrogation of like what your knowledge of the economic climate of the country is at the minute.
Absolutely.
So, And then just, I'll go more into detail on the different sections, but just like as an overview for the Srat Pictor, then I think a lot of students get really, really bogged down and really worried about it. You only have to do 1 Srat Pictor in your oral. You don't have to do, I think it's still 10 this year that students have to pick from. And I think it's going back to 20 next year, but you're only going to be asked 1. So I think the main thing is to just make it as simple as possible for yourself. Like once you know your keywords, and once you have like phrases and know your verbs and filler sentences, you'll be so fine. It's really just a matter of like getting comfortable with them and practice, and it'll come to you a lot easier than you think it will.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, especially for the Philly Octa, because a lot of people will say that's hard to kind of practice, but I mean, you really need to utilize your teacher in that, because that's what they're there for. So I think something that I would have done, if I'm looking back, because I didn't really, I mean, you kind of read, it's like, how do you study for that? Myself, I would have just read it over with actually having no feedback. Did it sound all right? But I would record myself reading a poem and then send it to my teacher, and they will send something back to you if, you know, with like, this needs, you're missing a shavu here, or this word is important, or this kind of, you're missing a bit of pronunciation there. So that's kind of a way that I think is definitely helpful for that. And then we'll talk about SRAP pictures a little bit more before we go on to Coral. We were discussing this earlier. We didn't get the SRAP pictures we wanted.
No.
How do you kind of get around that if you don't get the one you want in the moment?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely a bit of a panic moment, because your mind immediately is going to be like, oh my God, I don't know this. Like, panic. But I think you have, I think, about 30 seconds from the time you pick it up to, you know, look through it and compose yourself. And I think the most important thing to do in that moment is just breathe. Like, when you get a sharp hit or like even the poems, like, I know a lot of people with the poetry are like dreading getting spalpeen fánach or whatever. Like, if you get a sharp hit or you don't want, it's not as if you've never seen it before in your life. Like, you have done it. You are definitely more familiarized with it than you think you are. I think the main thing is, like I was saying earlier, like, you only have to do one sharpictor in your life, and the practice that you have from doing all of them will stand to you, and like, things will come back to you that you might have even picked up from different ones or from different kind of aspects of the course. Like, I know for me, the one that I got was Imre Gertheha.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like the football player who injured himself or whatever. I think there was another. Yeah, I didn't love it myself. Yeah. I know lots of people really wanted that one, but I just never really kind of stuck with me. But there was like, I know there was another one. Oh, what was it?
I got
there was a lot of them that involved. Oh, that one was. Did you get that?
I think so. I'm looking at them here and I'm thinking, I think that's what happened to me. Yeah. The old guy whose house floods and then he just cries about it.
I always thought that was such a stupid one.
Oh, there's not many smart ones, but yeah.
Wait, no, I want to actually give a review of that sharpictor now. I think that, I think they should be renamed, because the teenagers, the Jaegory, they find this guy, they don't do anything for him. Like, they like ring the fire brigade, but like, they just sit there and watch.
Yeah, is that, the Jaegory Craig is the brave teenagers. Unbelievable. Yeah.
They don't do anything.
There is actually a TikTok out there, sorry, that I made of ages ago, that was like, what if SRAP pictures were based on real stories, where you can see me break down a Daegory Croga, pretend to be an old man, and he literally goes to his window and is just shouting, and people just happen to be there, and it's like, well, that's great. Sorry, I got sidetracked. What else? There's some other ones I did. Imre Gertheha as well. That's a wild story. But anyway, sorry, what we're talking about.
But for Imre Gertheha, I remember there was another one, because he ended up having to go to the hospital in that. And there was another one, I think it was like Timbishtha Chláiste Saori. I don't know if he did that one, but it was a guy in the Gaeltacht, and he like, in, I think, yeah. Anyway, but there was two of them that I did where they had to go to the hospital and there was like a whole thing. And like, there was a lot of phrases that would have kind of overlapped. And so I think the main thing, honestly, for them is like, if you have some kind of understanding of what the plot is, and even if you can just string together basic sentences in your head, like if you have the keywords, if you have an understanding of like your tenses and your grammar, you're not being asked to give the most complex description of what's happening in the story, you're just being asked to tell it. And I think the main thing in the moment is just trying to compose yourself and say, okay, I just need to get through this. And also, one thing that's important to note with the sharpictor is that I think 10 marks go for questions at the end of it.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And you ask the examiner questions first. But so you have to ask the examiner three, and then they ask you three, but like, because you are the one that asks first, you can literally ask anything, and they're not asking for like some really complicated question either. You can literally be like, how many people are in this picture, or like, what is the weather like, or what time is it, like basic things like that. And that's like a good enough amount of marks just from doing that. So I think, honestly, don't let the shoplifters take over your life. I do agree that, like, for the amount that you're going to get asked on the day, especially having 20 is a bit definitely excessive.
It's crazy.
And
yeah.
it's very hard because I know a lot of people, the way that they learn them is by, like, rote learning an entire spiel off by heart, mm-hmm. and that can be very intense. But I think the way to go about it is just making sure that you know keywords and key phrases, and just having confidence in yourself that you'll be able to tell the story. And it's really just a matter of practice. It's like anything with a language or with any subject, really. Like, it is just a matter of practice and becoming more comfortable with it as you go along.
Yeah, and I'd add to that that I think having a really strong idea of, like, an opening line or two and a mm-hmm. closing line or two, is having a really good start and ending that can kind of be a, that might have to be slightly altered, but can kind of be applied for every single one, so that no matter what happens, you're going to have a strong ending and a strong beginning.
Yeah, I like to end mine with, like, a shanacle or something. Like, I'd be like,
I'll go on.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, they learned a lot that day.
I'm trying to think
of, like,
H1 written all over it. Yeah. Tiergan anam, Tiergan changa. Just
oh,
put
yeah.
that in there.
Like, if, but there's some, like, I had a list of some of them that, like, can honestly be applied to nearly every situation. There's so many, like, ni hagan kiel ravish, if something, like, unfortunate happens. Like, I know for, like, did you do the one about the Carta Credvasa?
Don't think so.
They, like, basically it's two kids and they, like, use their dad's credit card to buy concert tickets. And it's like, and then they get, like, they get in trouble for it. And it's
who
like, well,
these?
Yeah, good question. But I don't know, just things like that that can kind of be applied. If you have, like, a little bank of them that can kind of be applied to every single one, and it is a strong enough way to finish them off, because you're going to end it on that note and the examiner is going to be like, wow,
yeah, that's
good
exactly
on you.
It
yeah.
H1, that's what you did. Actually, the rest of it was awful. The Shanock got all the marks. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so they throw pictures are probably what people stress about the most. Like, when everybody talks about the Irish Oral, it's goodness, the SRAP picture is coming up. God, I hope I get the right one or the one that I want. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of becomes that. So what you don't want to do is let that distract you from the co-raw, because what that is it's worth half the marks, as Aaron so well said earlier. That's terrible English. A big thing about the co-raw is that you technically are in charge.
You are.
Like, once it gets going, yes, you're in control. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think, like, people think of the co-raw as, again, like, an interrogation. People go into it and think, oh my god, what if I get asked this, what if I get asked that. Like, it's not like an interview. It's, if you were having a normal conversation with somebody, you wouldn't let them just take control of how the entire thing goes. Like, a natural conversation is something that flows between the two of you, and, like, the examiners are not robots. Like, they're not evil people coming to make your life terrible and take all of your marks away from you. Like, they're trying to give you marks. Most examiners are teachers themselves who, like, more than likely will have their own class back where they're from, who are doing the exact same thing as you're doing right now. Like, they're not trying to make your life difficult. They are just having a conversation with you. So I think the important thing to note is that you have a lot of liberty over what is or isn't discussed in your oral. Like, a lot of examiners kind of wait for the student to bring up something that they want to talk about themselves, and then they'll kind of latch onto that and give them the space to discuss those things. But even then, like I mentioned earlier, getting asked kind of more difficult questions about things like politics or the environment or things like that that are, like, a little bit more challenging. I think, first of all, if that happens to you, don't panic. It means that you're in a good place and that the examiner clearly feels that you're ready to answer those kinds of things. But also, like, you're under no obligation to give a response. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this, but it's not, like, the oral isn't a test of how much you know about certain things. It's a test of your Irish and nothing else. Like, the examiner isn't going to gain all of their insights on the world from your conversation, realistically. You're more than able to say, unfortunately, I don't know an awful lot about that topic. I'd rather talk about X, Y, Z. You can completely steer it in that sense. You're like, they don't expect you to have the answers to everything. So you're more than welcome to say things like that and just change where the conversation goes. I honestly wouldn't worry too much about those kinds of things. And I know a lot of people as well, you know, morning before the oral or whatever, they'll go in and they'll be like frantically trying to learn off answers as to what their opinions of like the political state of the country are. And it's like, at that point, there's no point cramming your brain with loads of pointless, unnecessary information about what things that you don't already know. Like, I think with the oral, you know what you know. If something like politics is something that you really want to bring up yourself, absolutely, by all means, do it. The examiner will love it. But don't spend your time getting worried about things like that, and just honestly focus on the more kind of basic questions that you're like definitely going to be asked, like your, you know, about yourself, your pastimes. Pastimes are a big thing, like your school, your area, like focus on those ones. And then if you have something like, I don't know, like a kind of selling point to yourself, like something that you know that you want to talk about and that interests you and that you feel comfortable talking about for a long time, like focus on that. Don't focus on preparing answers about things that you're not really comfortable with, because you're just not going to feel great about it yourself, even if it does get brought up, because you're just going to be panicking the whole time, like, oh my God, am I answering this properly? So I think definitely for the Cora, you have a lot more control than you might think you do. So just slow down and don't pressure yourself into getting bogged down by like really complicated questions that you mightn't even be asked. Leaving Cert Irish can be tough, but StudyClick's Irish Boost makes it easier. Over 140 exam-focused video lessons covering grammar, essay writing, and oral prep, along with 300-plus interactive exercises to sharpen your skills. It's everything you need to feel confident heading into Paper 1 and 2. And for podcast listeners, here's €10 off. Just use podcast10 at checkout. Go to studyclicks.ie and get the extra help you need before the Leaving Cert.
Yeah, I mean, when I did my CORA, I was trying to think of ways of standing out, or, I don't know, trying to get extra marks of actually not having that great a level of Irish, because my old Irish was okay. What my teacher used to always say is, like, have phrases and stuff, like you've just said, and kind of things like that, which are huge. And they're still ones that I remember in my brain to this day, because they're never going to leave me, of, like, Maradort me hiana, or Conaveh Maconta was my favourite one ever. Love. Such a fun thing to say, to be honest with you. It's like you're actually, I mean, it's meant to be a conversation. It's like you're having a little laugh with them. But yeah, absolutely. The examiner is a teacher and they're there to help you. And if you're being asked a question that you don't quite like want to talk about, you can say, well, I don't really know much about that, but I do know a lot about this. That's a line that I think is a very important one to have, because that basically gives you a get out of jail free card for anything.
One thing that I just kind of think is worth noting as well is the fact that the oral is the exact same no matter what level you're doing. So for both higher and ordinary level, it's the exact same oral. Like, I'm pretty sure the examiner doesn't know what level you are when you go into the exam.
Yes.
So, like, obviously true, it's something that they might kind of pick up on as you go on, and like they will adhere to whatever standard you kind of seem to be showing. Mm-hmm. But like every person who goes into the oral is treated the exact same way. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind when you're going into it. Just don't be kind of worried about what level you think you have yourself, because it doesn't really make any difference to the examiner. Like, they are just there with you to have a conversation at the end of the day, and that's all.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. I also had no idea that it was like recorded until I got in there, and I was like,
oh yeah,
what are you doing with that now? You're going to be playing that in the pub later. I'm sorry. Okay, so I guess we can kind of talk about when the oral is currently 3 weeks away. More or less. In those days before coming up to it, even the day of, what are the best kind of last minute things? If you still feel like you're a little bit frazzled, or maybe you're on top of things, what is the kind of, where should, I mean, obviously the CORA is the big thing, but where do you think is the best way? You say surround yourself with Irish, but yeah, what would you kind of give as tips morning of and of the Irish, or you're sitting outside the room and you're nervous, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think definitely there's, like I said earlier, there's no point trying to learn off loads of big complicated answers and vocab just coming into it, because you're not really going to benefit yourself in that sense. Like, you know what you know, and like realistically you're probably wasting your time worrying about things that you mightn't even be asked. Like, I know in my oral I wasn't asked anything like particularly current affairs related. I don't know about yourself. It was kind of really just more general questions and then things that I like brought up myself. But I think definitely just making sure you're comfortable talking about things like, you know, the more basic topics. Making sure that you have phrases, so like Cahime Adwal, and like just kind of things that make it sound like you have a high standard of Irish, even if you mightn't particularly be very confident in yourself. Making sure that you're comfortable with the poems, and that you know kind of keywords for things that can be applied like across the board. Like, I think the main thing is just speaking as much Irish as you can, and getting yourself into a flow with it, because I think like, once you kind of like, if you wake up the day of your oral and like try and, I don't know, try and get into the swing of it yourself, it'll come more naturally to you. Like, I don't know, this probably won't make any sense, but like, I still, even now in college, and like my whole course is taught through Irish, like it's the only thing that I hear all the time in college, but like I'll go in like even after a weekend or something, and someone will ask me something, and I'll like, you know, stutter over what I'm saying or whatever. But then like once I'm talking to people for a while, I get kind of more warmed up to it. So I think really it is just important to keep practicing and just get yourself into the mindset of, okay, like I'm speaking a different language.
Days before, really focus on talking it, listening it, hearing it. I suppose you could, like, we've all got friends who are doing the Leaving Cert with us, you know.
Exactly.
Do a practice oral with them. A little bit sad. But no, it's not.
No, it's not, though, because that's something that really, really helped leading up to it. And like, I know in my class, like we would have practice orals for like months and months leading up to it. But like, we literally just go around the class and like kind of nearly mark each other. And it's helpful to kind of hear feedback from people doing the exact same thing as you, because you learn things from each other. And
yeah,
it
you
helps.
You learn a huge amount seeing somebody else do the oral in front of you as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By other people's mistakes, or what they're doing better than you and all that kind of thing.
And I think you just become a lot more comfortable doing it then as well, because I think a lot of the nerves just come from not really knowing what to expect, or what to kind of, you know, if it's something that you're not really used to, if you haven't done a lot of practice, it'll obviously feel a lot more nerve-wracking going into the exam. But if you have enough practice and you're familiar enough with what is expected of you, then it shouldn't feel like as kind of daunting of a thing going into it. And I think it's important for yourself. Like for me, I know I really love knowing exactly what to expect before I go into something new or something kind of scary. I know like with Irish Boost at the minute that's on our site, there's a load of kind of videos and things of sample orals done with people like, you know, of all different standards of Irish, just kind of going through like each section of the exam, like it's like from start to finish, and you can see exactly how the exam flows. And I think just even things like that, just like seeing what is actually expected of you, because people expect as well, like that they're expected to go into the oral and have this like crazy standard of Irish, and that they're not going to get any marks for like saying something that's kind of maybe more simple or whatever. But if you look at things like that, and they're done with real examiners too, and if you look at the comments that they give, like they don't expect crazy, crazy things from you. You know, it comes from practice as well, but being able to reassure yourself like, okay, I'm doing enough, I'm not. People have a lot of kind of insecurity, I think, with their Irish. And I think it's just important to kind of feel that confidence in yourself, and feel a lot of it is kind of mentally preparing yourself rather than just like physically learning things off and being able to say like, right, I know all of my Shrapik doors off by heart, I know all of this. Like a lot of it is just kind of really being able to compose yourself and convince yourself like, okay, I'm ready for this, I can do this, I'm capable of having a conversation for 15 minutes in this language. And that's I think the most important thing above anything else.
Absolutely, just having all the basics right and being really really secure in those, I think, is all your tenses and everything like that, if they're spot on, all your verbs like that, people thinking they're going to get asked about current affairs or politics, I mean, if you get those more basic things perfectly with no mistakes, then that's almost more impressive than just consistently, you know, everything being right throughout. So focus on that.
Exactly.
But yeah, as you said, Leaving Cert Irish Boost, there's over like 140 videos on there, 300 exercises. I'm very annoyed that wasn't there when I was in school, but I would definitely take advantage of that in the next like 3 weeks. If you have 3 weeks, get on it, because I think that could make all the difference to someone's grade in these last 3 weeks, when you can learn so much, as you say, by completely surrounding yourself with the language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we talk about there about like, if you're sitting outside the oral exam, what's your last like, how'd you calm yourself? I mean, we box breathing, or, you know, how, if you're getting sweaty, you're getting a little bit, the heart goes, it's like you're sitting outside an audition, you know, how do you cope with that? Because a lot of it is like, you can almost worry, like, if you're somebody who's learned stuff off, and there's going to be a lot of people listening to this who that is kind of the way they do it, you can be worried, I'm going to forget that, or you're kind of going over in your head. Do you think that's something that you should be doing if you're someone who's learned it all off? Do you think, because I know when I do things like that, running over in my head just starts to make me doubt myself even more. So how do you kind of calm yourself while you're sitting outside and just stay, like, really make yourself feel confident within yourself?
Yeah, no, I used to be the exact same. Like, I'd convince myself, I'd be so doubtful that I'd just forget everything. I think a lot of people definitely for Irish depend on, like, rote learning and kind of learning off big spiels word for word, which is okay. Everybody has different ways of learning things. I think it's so easy to get in your head about things like that, but if you have done the practice, like, it will literally just come to you. And I think so much of that, again, is just kind of, like, from a mental place, being able to just calm yourself and say, I know that's so easy in theory, like, it's hard actually in the moment to just breathe, but, like, you in the moment, like, you will, it will come back to you. And nerves are a terrible thing sometimes, and they can make you think the worst things of yourself, but they can also be a good thing. And I think sometimes the pressure nearly helps you think more on the spot. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
Yeah,
but
the
adrenaline, definitely,
yeah.
Yeah, like, if you use it to your advantage, it can honestly work in ways that you mightn't think it does. But, like, I think that at that point, you know, like, you're realistically, a lot of people on the day of the oral exam will be kind of as fluent in the language as they will have been in their lives. Like, I'm pretty sure 100%. The day of the exam, like, you will have done months and months of preparation. Like, you're not going to walk in the door and forget every word of Irish you've ever known. And you have to tell yourself that, like, that will not happen to you. And I don't mean to say, like, oh, like, you've no reason to be nervous, because I know myself, the days leading up to it, like, I was a mess. Like, I was so, so nervous. I was so anxious. I was, like, bawling my eyes out at the thoughts of it, which now, thinking back on it, I'm like, why? Because it's such a small thing, like, looking back and having done it. Like, it literally did just feel like a conversation. Now, I was lucky, my examiner was so, so lovely. And, you know, most, like, nearly every examiner is really lovely. But if I could go back and tell myself, don't stress so much, I absolutely would. It's just hard to see that in the moment. But, like, everybody else in the country is going through, like, in Leaving Cert is going through the exact same thing. It's something that you just, you get through it. And most people come out the other end and they're like, do you know what? That was a lot better than I expected it to be. Because I think, like, the amount of emphasis that's placed on it, like, you think of it as being this, like, big terrifying thing. I know I did. And then you do it. And that's it. So I think it's really just a matter of, like, telling yourself, okay, so many people before me have done this. Everybody else in my year will also have to do this. It will be fine.
Everyone does it. It's only 10 minutes of your life, guys. I think just sitting outside, like, it's all about, as you say, mindset and focusing on the things you do know. If you're sitting out there, God, I don't know that well. I could have studied that a little bit more. Grand, it's done. You can't do it
anymore.
Doesn't
matter now.
So let's focus on all the things you know. Build up, like, a confidence of yourself. Oh, well, I know all that, and I know all that. If I talk about that, that'll be grand. And I'll just, if they go something else, sorry, I don't quite know about that, but I know about my dog. So.
And like, if you were if you were having a conversation with someone in English and they asked you about a topic that you just knew nothing about, you're not going to waffle on. You're not going to waffle on about it, so, like, acting as if you are an expert. Like, you're just gonna say, oh, I don't really know, sorry. Like, that's just how a conversation works. So the same applies here. Like, it's no different at all. It's really just a matter of what you feel like you can talk about, and there's no point acting like anything else is true, because it won't benefit you at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think we've covered absolutely everything in the world to do with Irish oral. So if you don't do well now, well, don't come crying to us. Not our fault. I'm not an expert. Erin is, though. So guys, we're so lucky that we had her. Honestly, hopefully there's going to be a lot more people coming through like you who decide to take up Irish and learn. And, you know, hey, it's never too late. I'm gonna Duolingo's there. I'll give it a go. My dad's actually learning Irish at the moment. That's actually because he's a tour guide. He only just changed careers like 2 years ago, and every night I just hear da-ding, da-ding. And he's like, he asked me, like, what last night, what does Latza mean? And I sadly, ashamedly said, I don't know.
Well, that's nice.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with anything. Just a little anecdote there for you all. So yeah, I think we'll leave it there.
Too late.
Yeah, sorry. Absolutely. There. What's that in Irish? Go on, say it. End it beautifully. Go on. Tiargan Anam, Tiargan Changa. Right, I think we've covered everything there, basically. And thank you so much for listening. If you're still here, thank you very much. And you're the ones who will be getting H1s in your Leaving Cert Irish Oral. And if you don't, that doesn't mean anything too, because it's 10 minutes of your life. And at the end of the day, it's just an exam. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening, guys. Yeah, and goodbye from both of us. And if you enjoyed this, please do recommend it to a friend or subscribe or follow wherever you are. Follow the TikTok, the Instagram, everything. We're everywhere. So, yeah, thank you so much, guys. And we'll see you next time.
Slán.